Yeah. Thank you. If you have your Bible, open with me in the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter now of the Gospel according to Luke. As we have been studying Luke's view of Christmas, and we come to the second chapter, the first verse of the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, please take our hearts and move them to Jesus. Let us see clearly the blessings you have given us, that this is not just a season of the year. This is an eternal blessing to those that will receive you. Move in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Christmas. You have probably heard the stories of Christmas. There's all kinds of stories this time of year. You may have heard about George Bailey. Do you know George Bailey? George Bailey worked at a savings and loan. It was his dad's savings and loan, a small savings and loan to help people get houses coming out of the war time, and so it was a simple kind of idea to help people be able to afford something they could not afford any other way, and they could not get a loan any other way, so the savings and loan. But George wanted something bigger. He wanted to be a world traveler. He wanted to really accomplish something in his life, and he felt like he did nothing. And when he was going to get out, when he was going to accomplish something, his dad became sick, and his dad died, and George, for the family, went in and did the savings and loan, and he never got out of the town, and he felt like he was nothing, and he just really believed his life was worthless. And so George leaves the savings and loan. George has a tough day. He ends up walking across a bridge, and there is a man that jumps off the bridge. George, caring for everyone, goes off the bridge too to save him. Gets him up, and he meets a fellow by the name of Clarence. And we all know that Clarence was an angel, and Clarence was trying to get his... Oh, you know it so well. And every time an angel gets his wings, he hears a bell. That is terrible theology. Terrible. Angels don't have to work for their wings. Every angel got everything he needed on the day that he was made. God doesn't need another angel. Nobody that dies will become an angel. It doesn't happen that way. God has every angel he ever needed, and he has a purpose for them. So it's a great story, but that is all. Thankfully, George finds out that his worth was really something, and worth something, and by giving, which was the real purpose of this, giving made him the richest man in the city. There was another family, the Cratchit family. Maybe you know the Cratchit family. They had a lot of children. They had one young man that was not well, in fact, very sickly. He was a small boy. His name was? You couldn't just call him Tim, could you? Tiny Tim. And Tiny Tim was sickly, and Tiny Tim wanted everybody to be blessed at Christmas, and they had very little, but Bob worked for a very terrible man, and he was just called Scrooge. And my favorite telling of this story is he's Scrooge McDuck, but that's a whole different thing. And so Scrooge hates Christmas. He hates the frivolity of it all. He is all about money. And to Christmas, he has a word. He says, bah, humbug. Yes, you know it well. And he has a dream, and angels come, and they do all these things, and he is a changed man, and all is well, and no one ever kept Christmas as well as Ebenezer Scrooge after that fact. And that's the story, and you know it, and it's a good story. Unfortunately, people are trying to take the truth of the first Christmas, and they are trying to make it into just a good story. I want you to know it is so much more. There is a truth of the joy of Christmas. There is a truth of the blessing of Christmas. There is a truth of the miracle of Christmas. God did something at Christmas that set in motion that which would give you a hope to be forgiven of your sins. All happening at this particular time. You know, in our day, they are really trying to have Christmas without Jesus. They're building up the holidays. I don't know how many of you have been pulled into the holiday movies. And if you watch that, what is it? Hallmark Channel. Some of you live by the Hallmark, and hopefully you won't die by the Hallmark. But Hallmark Channel has managed to craft some pretty good Christmas stories. But you know what? They seem to all leave out Jesus. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope you can tell me about some that have Jesus in them. But this time of year, they have all these beautiful tellings of Christmas and giving and caring. But Jesus is nowhere to be found. God went to a great deal of detail to let us know that the Messiah would come, that Jesus would be born. It would be a time that could not be avoided, how things would just fall into place as God detailed it out. This time of year, people are checking their finances. Expensive things happen at Christmas. If you're a gift giver, well, it's hard to get through the season without giving gifts. In fact, you want to give gifts, but gifts are given because God gave. We seem to forget that. But it becomes very expensive if you're going to give. Well, money had something to do with that first Christmas. In verse 1, and it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And in that day, everyone knew that meant that they should all be taxed. In fact, some of the translations use the word taxed instead of registered, and that may be what you have in your Bible. Everybody would go to their own city. That means they have to go to their city of birth. If that was me, I would have to go to Gadsden, Alabama. Wherever you were born, that's where you would have to go. It was a good system. It had been a system for a while. Dr. Luke takes care to tell us of Quirinius, the last time this was done. He was over that whole operation, so it's not something new. It's something they had done before, but they haven't called for it for a while. They're calling for it now. Why are they calling for it now? Because Caesar needed more money. And so Caesar Augustus put forth that there needed to be a tax. Does that surprise you that someone in government thinks there should be a tax? Now, he ruled in Rome from about 31 BC to 15 AD. He had a great rule. He did a lot of good stuff. I know he's got a bad rep. There's a reason for that. But you got to understand, the man did a lot of good stuff. He ruled for a long time. It is called Pax Roma. It is the time of peace, because it took a lot of war to put Rome together. But this was a time of peace. He developed a way to conquer, and when he conquered, he didn't destroy. He conquered, and then he pulled people into Rome. He conquered, and then he ascribed people to serve in the military. But when he conquered the Hebrews, he did not allow them to serve in the military. But he did allow them to pay taxes. And so they were in this world of taxation. And so he was wanting everybody to be taxed. Most people in government sooner or later want everybody to be taxed. They all say that they're going to reduce our taxes. Somehow they keep going up. I don't know how that works, but it seems to go that way. Augustus expanded the Roman Empire. It went everywhere. He got so proud of what he was doing, he proclaimed himself of God. And so this false god decides there needs to be a Christmas tax, although he didn't know it was Christmas. And you know what? While he doesn't know it, God is using him. And God is directing things. And God has a purpose for this registration, because this registration is going to bring about Christmas. Without it, things may not have happened as they needed to. This tax brings about a special moment in verses 4 and 5. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Now, is his a spouse, his betrothed wife? It was different in those days. They are engaged. They are not yet married. But when you became engaged, you took control of the care of your wife-to-be. And he had done that. In verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. On a first look, it might have seemed that this tax was so inconvenient. I find taxes very inconvenient. Let me give you something to think about when you pay your taxes. Now, if you are self-employed, you wait until the final moment that you can and you pay your taxes. If you're not self-employed, you're paying taxes in every check, and that's how it's taken out bit by bit. And you know, it stings a lot more if you're self-employed and you pay it out all in one chunk or in those quarterly statements. And I'm in that world, you know, as the IRS has determined. Some of you are in that world. But anyway, you know, when I pay my taxes, this is my attitude. It's a cheap price to get to live in this country. I'm thankful for the nation God has given us. Now, that doesn't mean I don't take deductions. I do. I don't think you should pay any more than you have to pay. But I am thankful for the land that I live in. This was inconvenient. It seemed like things were going wrong, but things were actually going right. Let me tell you, sometimes in this life, things are going to seem like everything is going wrong, but God's got a plan. Trust God's plan. We see God's plan at work here. They are called. Joseph has to go to Bethlehem. Now, Joseph doesn't have to take Mary. It doesn't say take your wives. It doesn't say take your fiancés. It says you got to go. The women didn't have to go. The men had to go. But Joseph had a problem, Mary was expecting, and she was not just expecting, she was very expecting. Now, I know you can't be different degrees of pregnant, but just understand, she was almost at 9 months. She was almost at delivery time. In fact, we were teetering on the edge of when that was going to happen at any moment. In our terminology, medical speak, she was very pregnant. And so any moment she was going to deliver, but Joseph had to go. What's he going to do with her? You see, in our thoughts was, well, she can stay at home. She can stay with her parents. Her parents are not mentioned in the Bible. I believe she was an orphan at this time, that her parents had already passed. We don't really know. We're not told. And what we're not told, we don't need to know. I do know that there was no place for Mary to be, no one for her to stay with, no family member she could be put up with. And in fact, Joseph would not have left her. Joseph loved her. And it was known, small town, it was known that she was having this child and that she was not Joseph's. The child was not Joseph's, and she would have been slandered if left alone. And so he was not going to allow her to go through that. He was going to take her with him on this little Christmas trip. I know we all go on Christmas trips. You got to go see parents. You got to go see grandparents. And you go around to the houses. They had to go on a mule. They had to go about 80 miles. And she's going to deliver at any moment. I remember the night that my bride was going to have our first child. I remember it very well. She told me it's time to go to the hospital. Now, we went through all the classes. You know, we went through the classes where we knew everything we were supposed to do, how to breathe, all those kind of things. I was the coach. I knew how to get her through that Lamaze stuff. We knew it, had it all down. I knew how to time contractions. She tells me it's time to go. I said, no, it's not. Your contractions are not timing out right. She said, it's time to go. I said, no, well, she said, it's time to go. We got in the car. And you had to go over a railroad track to get to the hospital. I'm sorry, you just did. We went over that bump. I thought the world was coming to an end right there. This woman, being very pregnant, had to ride a donkey 80 to 90 miles. This was not convenient. This was a difficult trip. And, you know, I'm just amazed at Mary. You've got to respect her strength. You've got to respect her determination and her belief in God, and she knows God's going to take care of everything. God is in the details. You may think this is a tax. We get taxed all the time. What's the big deal? The big deal is Jesus could not be born in Nazareth. Jesus could not be born on the road. There is only one place the Messiah could be born, and that was Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Micah says, the one that has been from everlasting. Now, who is everlasting? God is everlasting. So this child from Micah's telling is going to be the Messiah, but is going to be the God-man. That's told from us in Micah, long, long before Jesus came to be in Bethlehem. But it was going to be in Bethlehem, Ephratah. Why Ephratah? Because there's more than one Bethlehem. It's going to be from a specific Bethlehem. And so it's going to be at this specific place. This is a wonderful place. Bethlehem, there was Naomi. Naomi came back to Bethlehem. She had seen the horror of her husband and three sons killed in war. And she would go back to her home in Bethlehem. And she would go to Bethlehem, and she had three daughter-in-laws that were now widows because her sons were killed. And in that day, they would be her responsibility. But two of them had families they could go back to, but one, Ruth, could not go back. And so Ruth would stay with her, and Ruth pledged to her. She would go wherever Naomi goes. She would be there for her. She would take care of her. And they would go back to Bethlehem. Why? Because God has a plan. You see, in Bethlehem, Ruth would become the great-grandmother to David. Bethlehem. Bethlehem is where there were these sons and all these sons, great sons, and Samuel came and he was looking through all the men and he looked through this family with all these sons. He was looking for the next king, God's king, because Saul had messed up. And so there had to be a king over Israel, and God had decided where that king would come from. Where would he come from? Bethlehem. And so he's looking all through Bethlehem. He looks through all the boys and he says, "You're not it, you're not it, you're not it." I'm sure it made him feel great. Gets to the end and says, "Don't you have anybody else?" It's like the Cinderella story. "Don't you have anybody else? Oh, we just got Cinderella. She's tending the fire somewhere." "No, we just got David. He's out in the, just keeping the sheep. He's not important." "Get David, bring him in." Looks at David, he said, "You're the one. You're to be the king." And so King David of Bethlehem would be the greatest king that Israel ever had. And he was in the line. God had said he was in the line. He was in the line moving toward the Messiah. It goes all the way back to Abraham. It goes all the way forward. And so this is a particular thing that has to happen in a particular place. You think God's not in details? God's working it all out for Bethlehem. Think of it. Here is Augustus ruling. Where is he? Well, he's in Rome. That is 800 miles away. In that day, when he made an edict, it's not like today. It did not go out in a broadcast. It did not go out in email. It did not go out as Twitter. It did not go out, as any other thing you would think of for fast communication. How did they do it? Well, they would tell carriers. The carriers would go to ships, and a ship would go to Caesarea. And at Caesarea, they would have runners, and the runners would then go to the different provinces. This all took time. 800 miles was not 800 miles today. It's still a long way. 90 miles is not that long for us, but still, at best an hour and a half, maybe two. And so, that's in our travel. In their day, it took a lot longer. Understand this. Had Augustus slept on the tax idea for a day, had he given the edict one day later, Jesus could not have been born in Bethlehem, and he could not have been the Messiah. Had Joseph decided, "I'm not going to pay my taxes." Some people do decide that. Not a good idea, but some people do. If he had decided that, had they not made the trip, Jesus would not have been born in Bethlehem and could not have been the Messiah. Had Mary's family been around her and alive and caring and loving, it seemed horrible at the moment for her, I'm sure. But had they been there, Joseph would have left her in Nazareth, and Jesus would have been born there and could not have been the Messiah. I am telling you, God is in all the details. And when you read your Bible, the words in the Bible have meaning, and they have purpose. And if you ever look into the Bible, you find this verse that says, all things work to good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Mary was called according to his purpose, and all these things that seemed like they weren't that great were absolutely wonderful. And my friend, if you are following Jesus, all the things going on in your life that may not seem that great, God can use for your good according to his word. God had over 300 prophecies about the Messiah coming. They would all have to be fulfilled or he would not be the Messiah. And one of those is that he would be born in Bethlehem. God does not move by accident. God moves on purpose. This is a special moment, not a convenient moment. They would come to Bethlehem. Now, like a lot of men, Joseph didn't make reservations, so they didn't have any place to go. Don't blame him. There was no way to make reservations in that day. There was an inn there. It is a known inn, Chimham's Inn. It is a place that was built by a follower of King David. It is the place where Jeremiah stayed in 2 Samuel 19 in Jeremiah 41. Because of the tax, you can imagine this small inn was overrun. It was overrun by men because women didn't make the trip. No woman is mentioned in the Bible to have assisted Mary in this birth. And so Joseph gets to town. How does he find a place to stay? Well, he's going to find a place to make sure that Mary is protected because he knows her delivery is coming soon. And so he finds what he can find. Now, my trip to Israel taught me a lot. In going to Israel, I found that in that area that where they kept animals is mostly in small caves. And I believe that the manger was in a small cave. And if you go to the church in the Nativity, that's actually what you see. I believe Joseph found this place. It would be a safe place. It would be a dry place. It would be out of the weather. You may not think it's very much, but let me tell you, it was better than being out on the road. And so he got her to the place that he could get her. Now, before you think that Jesus was born in a manger, he was not born in a manger. He was placed in a manger after he was born. A manger is a feeding trough. It is not a structure. And it was a feeding trough. And so now, the baby comes and the baby is born in this cattle stall. Now, I'm going to ask you a question and I want you to answer that question, but I don't want you to answer that question out loud. I want you to answer it in your head. Keep it in your head and you may be glad you did. Okay, so... So you know the story. You've read the story. Do you remember reading about there being no room in the inn? Do you remember about what happened? Joseph goes to the inn and the innkeeper says, we don't have any room. We've got a stable. You remember reading that? You remember about this mean old innkeeper, a villain. You know, church people like villains. And so this mean old innkeeper wouldn't let them in the inn. Just told him to go to the stable. You remember reading that? If you read that in your Bible, you got a strange Bible. It's not in there. There is no innkeeper in the Bible. Now, there's an inn, and there wasn't any room in it. No, the innkeeper was invented. The innkeeper, I'm sure there may have been one, but it has no part in the Christmas story. God gave a place that would be the perfect place, the humble place, that he would come into the world to let us know he was here for all. And he was open to all. And it's a place where visitors could come if need be. The more I see, the more I'm amazed. Mary, what a woman. Here she is. She has this child. She has this baby by herself. Wait a minute, Joseph was there. Yeah, I'm sure he was a lot of help. Joseph was there, yeah, and I do think he helped what he could help. But she had the baby, cleaned the baby, dressed the baby in cloths, Joseph may have put fresh straw down in the feeding bin. I don't know. But laid the baby in the manger. Now, what does every new mother want right after she has a baby? Well, visitors, of course. And so these visitors are going to come in. Shepherds were the lowest strata of society. But what we see is, after the birth, after this special moment, there's a shocking message. Shepherds are out in the field, and they're tending the flock. They are tending the flock because it's a time to be out there. They're getting the flock ready for sacrifice. They're normally not close to town, but they're close to town now because the sacrifice is going to take place, and it's very important that they be there. Now, they're not allowed to go into the temple because they're seen to be unclean by the church, and so they're not allowed in. They are very much the lowest of the low, and so they're out there tending their flock. They're sheep. And God does something amazing in verse 10 through 11. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Here these shepherds are, and here these angels appear, and yeah, they were afraid. We would have been afraid. And the angels give them news. The angel gives them news, the shocking news, the Messiah has come. They believed that the Messiah would come, but now the Messiah has come, and the Messiah has come to Bethlehem. And the angel gave them a sign of how they would find the babe. The angel is telling them God's Passover lamb has come. John 3:16 is a reality. For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the angels tell them the good news. In verse 10, this good news will be for all people. Jesus didn't just come for a select few. Jesus came for all people. Would you file that away? People are teaching something that's not true today. They're teaching that God's already chosen who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell, and God's made that choice. That is not biblical. Jesus came for all people. The Savior is personal. Unto you is born this day. Let me tell you, friends, just like he said unto you to the shepherds, he's saying unto you. Jesus came for me to be my Savior. Oh, what great news Christmas brings. Personal news. Then there was a whole crowd of angels. I know you think they were singing, and that's good for you to think, but that's not what the Bible says. It says they were saying. And so sticking with the Bible, they may sing other times. They didn't sing this time. And they give the good news. They say in their glory and give glory and praises to God. So here are the shepherds. They've heard this great news. The Messiah's coming. And the angels leave. They're out in the field. They're with their sheep. What are they going to do? Well, I'm going to tell you what they don't do. They don't go to Disneyland. They go to Bethlehem. They are driven. They have got to see what God has revealed. They've got to see it. Only a short distance, they've got to see for themselves. The angel told them where they would find the baby and how they would find it. Verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." We're going to go looking for a baby. Where we're going to find the baby? We're going to find the baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. How are they going to tell which baby it is? Try to find another baby in Bethlehem in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. You would not find one. Bethlehem is a small place. Very few children would have been born that particular night. And no one but Jesus was in that place. And so they would go because they had the shocking news. And then there comes the shared miracle. Verse 17. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." When you believe in Jesus and you believe in Jesus in your heart and you know him as your Savior, you got to tell somebody. You just can't keep that kind of news silent. How are you not telling your friends about Jesus when they're headed to hell and you're headed to heaven? How are you not telling your children about Jesus when you're headed to heaven and they're headed to an unsure future? How do you not tell your neighbors about Jesus? Listen, the shepherds heard it and they had to tell it. The Bible says they spread the news abroad. That means they just didn't tell the people they knew. They told the people they didn't know. They told everybody they could. If you believe in the miracle of Christmas, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, it's time for Christmas to make a difference and for you to spread the news. We've all got to do it. It's good news. Listen, we're good about telling people bad news. You know, we've got a whole thing called the news that comes out to tell us bad news. Seldom do they say anything good. We have good news. We're supposed to tell it. Get it out. Okay, here's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that Mary pondered these sayings in her heart. Now, God sent the shepherds, and yeah, inconvenient time. Hey, just had the baby. Could you guys come back another day? No, they come in. They come in to worship Jesus, and Mary is confirmed in her heart. Oh, God has done this. The Savior has come. He's let others know. They will come to worship. People will know the Messiah. Pondered it in her heart. That means she didn't tell everybody at that moment. She just kind of kept it to herself. Days went by. She just kind of kept it to herself. One day a knock comes at her door. Dr. Luke's coming. He's not coming to make a house call. He's coming to make a Mary call. He wants to talk to her about what took place. While Paul is in prison, Dr. Luke, his accompanying party, uses the time to talk to those that were there to get the news straight from the horse's mouth. Well, from Mary's mouth. And so Mary tells Dr. Luke, I was just a child, really, just a young girl. I was a virgin. I had never known a man. And an angel appeared to me and told me that I had been chosen. God was going to work a miracle in me. I didn't understand how it would happen, but he told me that God would make it happen. And even though I did not know a man, God would give me a child. And God put a child in me. And that child began to grow, and I knew he was there. And I went to see my cousin. She was really old. I mean, really, really old, and she was having a baby. But I knew if God could give her a child, God could give me a child. And then Joseph didn't put me away. Joseph took me understanding what the angel had told him. Then it was time for taxes. I couldn't believe. I was going to deliver any day. I'd never done this before, but I knew it was going to happen. And he wanted to take me to Bethlehem. Well, he had to. It was the law. And so on that old mule, I tried to ride. I rode as far as I could and told him we had to stop. And he was so kind. We stopped every time he gave me a I made the littlest move or statement. He would stop for me. Then we would go further. It took longer to make the trip, but we made it, and we got there, and there was no place to stay. But Joseph, he cared so much. He found us a place, a stable, but it was a nice place. It was dry. And then the pains came. It was time, and the child was born. This is the baby that God gave. There's no other way the baby could have gotten here. sent by God. I wrapped him in swaddling cloths and Joseph put fresh straw down in the manger and I laid him there. So amazed. I knew that this child was to be my Savior. And then these shepherds came. Shepherds, they came. God told them. And they didn't come to be a bother. They came to praise Him and to glorify God. For the Messiah has come. This is Christmas. Jesus came to get a body that He could offer as a sacrifice for you and for me. You have to say yes to God. You have to receive Him. And my prayer is that you will. Would you stand with me for a moment of prayer? Father, I pray now that you would move within our hearts. Listening are individuals that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Father, maybe they've never thought about the reality of what God did to bring a Savior for them. Not a babe in a manger, but Father Jesus who would die on a cross, be buried and rise again from the dead. Father, just to save our souls, to forgive our sins. And Father, if there is anyone here today that has not received Jesus, let this be the day that the true Christmas becomes a reality for their heart and life. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father, for believers, knowing you, that we will tell the story. Thank you for Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would you come?